look through the window. Do you know which direction it's facing? North, south, west, perhaps east? How far are you able to see? Do you see her? Open your travel diary to page 7. Here she is, Rabbi Tamar Elad Applebaum.
I'm so happy to be here, Amash, with you in Yerushalayim and Jerusalem. I was born here 45 years ago. And as I grew up, I lived in a very secluded world. And I learned in school how to sew and how to make bread. And I was supposed to be this woman who knows how to work within the house and make a family, a beautiful family. And I remember the first time that I learned that there were men here in Jerusalem, my age, who were learning at the very same time texts, holy Jewish scripture. And I came back home and I said to my parents that I really would want to learn them. And it was so unheard of. And I received a special permission to study those texts too, while promising that I would still keep on sewing and cooking.
Did you?
Yeah. My grandparents were my teachers, and they are my greatest teachers until today. My grandfather from the Moroccan side, Saba Yaish, Yaish means hope in Arabic Moroccan, who came from Casablanca, left everything he had together with my grandmother in order to come to this country and build it. He came from a world of values, of relationships and neighborhood, good neighborhood with Muslims. And he left all of that in order to come to this place. And he arrived with nothing besides his prayer book, Sidur, Tfilin, and a pair of bicycle, which he put together and started to look for a job. And the only thing he found back then was a little shop, fixing tires.
Wow.
That is all he did all his life. And every day people would come into his shop with a tire to fix, with a hole. Then he would tell me, if someone has a hole in his wheel, sometimes he also has a hole in his heart. So the first thing you'll do is you're going to give him tea with nana, with mint, and a lot of sugar. And you're going to sit and ask him how he is. And he did the same thing that he did in this shop, he did in his synagogue.
Wow.
And he taught me that synagogue is supposed to be a safe haven for every Jew. All of them had a place and none of them had to change anything in themselves in order to feel welcome to that place. And my other grandfather, my father Alphonse Cerf, who was a partisan in the Holocaust, was saved by a Jesuit priest who was the head of the resistance as a commander. And he came to Israel after losing most of his family in Auschwitz in 1943.
Wow.
And he taught me to make room in Jerusalem for every person from every tradition. And as a girl, I felt it, but it started with feeling how unseen I was. Because that very same grandfather, Yaish, on Passover when I was about 9 years old, called all the men to say the story of coming out of Egypt together with him and sent all the women to the kitchen. Including me. And I saw that evening my grandmother standing up to start walking towards the kitchen and my mother and all my aunts, and I just stood and yelled, no, no, no.
Wow.
And everyone was quiet all around, the whole Moroccan family. And my parents were underneath the table of shame. Suddenly I saw that I was not invited, that I was not seen, that I was not about to come out of Egypt, that I will not be free. This is not what he himself taught me. And my incredible grandfather said two words that changed my life. Hayelda tzodeket, the girl is right. This beautiful city called Jerusalem is a place that is full of compassion and love, but it's also full of screams and yells.
So from this background that you've just described, you today are a female rabbi of an extraordinary prayer community called Keilat Zion.
Zion is an invitation to go through life in a collective. And we do it through prayer and through the study of Torah and through much action and many deeds. And so the very first thing we did in Zion was to start praying together. Jews from different denominations and no definitions of denominations. And then we invited Christian and Muslims to know us. And they came into our homes And then we were invited to know them, and we came into our homes, and then we started witnessing each other's prayer, knowing that we're different, but we are witnesses in each other's journey to faith, faith that all is one. And so Tzion does a lot of work. I call it spiritual activism. And the youngsters in our community feel an expectation not to sit comfortably in Jerusalem and enjoy it, but to stand together, side by side with Jerusalem. I think Jerusalem, in a very deep way as a city, is a city that opposes arrangements that are unmoral. Mm-hmm. It is called in the Bible, Ir HaTzedek, Kirya Ne'emana, the city of justice, the city that is loyal to its people, not one segment of its people, all of its people. And when you ask me about how I became a rabbi, I want to tell you that that was the very difficult part of the journey. I had no woman to look up to, and I was married for 1 month, and I was at the end of my bachelor's BA degree in Jewish philosophy. And then I sat in the cafeteria with my best friend, and he asked me what I was about to do, and I had no clue. And I asked him what he was about to do, and he said, I'm going to be a rabbi. And I said, I'm so happy for you, and I would love to be that too. And then he said, I actually wanted to talk about this with you because I heard that in America there are women rabbis. And I was shocked. I couldn't even imagine it. And here I was, 23 years old, and I came back home and I said to Yossi, you won't believe what I just learned. I learned that there are women rabbis in the world. And we were eating dinner, and I remember he just looked at me in complete shock. And then he came to me and he hugged me very, very gently. And he said, Tamar, I know you from the age of 14, and now I know exactly what you're supposed to do.
Oh my gosh.
Tamash. And we went out on a journey. We went to learn what it meant to be a woman rabbi and for him to be married to a woman rabbi in this world. In Israel, it was really difficult. Back then, it was so lonely.
Where did you find the courage?
I believed it was the right thing to do. And that was more important to me than any fear I had. Everyone says there is no sea in Jerusalem, and when they want a sea, they go to Tel Aviv. And I say there is a sea here. There's a beautiful ocean and river of faith. And I was born on the shore of that sea.
Rabbi Tamar opens up a window to a new kind of spiritual practice. It's hard to close the window after her, right? If it's not too cold, leave it open, so the breeze can continue to blow in.